spirit is saying. As people, we need a spiritual ear to hear. Amen. That song, here's my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's everything that to me. You should be everything that to others. I'm going to say that again. You should be that to others. You should make a way. Who is the way? Who is the way? Jesus is the way. You should make him way. Waymaker, promise keeper. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Miracle worker. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He is my waymaker. He's my everything, my source of all that. But I'm his body. Therefore, I should be demonstrating the same thing amongst those who are around me. Amen. Glory to God. I really believe this morning I have a season. I really hope you have an ear to hear. Because I think for a while, for too long, the church has made your born-again experience too flippant. Too flippant. You've got to understand is he transformed me or translated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. He made me born again. He made me not flesh in the flesh, but my spirit is not of the flesh. I am born again. I've got his spirit residing within me. Amen. I have been born of the spirit. You need to get a revelation of that, Christian. I am born of the spirit. Amen. And God ministers spirit to spirit. I can only worship him in spirit and in truth. It's imperative revelation that I'm a spirit being. Amen. A spirit being. We've got some scriptures to go through this morning. So get ready. John, would you just chuck that up for us? That'd be great. Oh, sorry, Morgan. They are one, so it's all right. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Who's the temple? We are the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He is coming. He is coming. There was a messenger that they're talking about in that scripture, Malachi, and his name was John the Baptist. He was a forerunner. He declared that Jesus was coming, didn't he? He declared and made a way for the Lord. He was a forerunner. He was a waymaker. He was a waymaker. He was making way for Jesus. Amen. Next one, please. 3:3 says, "For this is he who's spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John 5:35 says, "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to be for a time rejoice in his light." It was talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, it says in the book of Luke, that he was the greatest born among women. There was no man like John the Baptist. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. In fact, Jesus called him Elijah. But he was the greatest born of women. He was the greatest of all prophets. He was the greatest of all men. Amen? John the Baptist. Yet Jesus said, he's least in the kingdom of God. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. He who was the born of flesh is less than he who is the least in the spirit. How can Jesus say something like that? Why could Jesus say something like that? John the Baptist, a forerunner, a type of Elijah, a one that could prophesy, one that made room, who made a way, a one that decreed something, one that baptized in water unto repentance, a one that brought the whole nation to himself, a priest. He was a priest. His father was a priest. Zacchaeus was a priest. His mother was of the Levitical line. He was a priest. That's why he could point out Jesus, the physical Lamb of God. As a priest, he could do that. He was allowed to do that because as a priest, he had to bring sacrifice. He was part of the priesthood. He was a part of Levi. Amen? This man that seemed to be the nonchalant of society, yet dressed weird. And I wouldn't want to partake of his locusts and honey. I'll have the honey, but you can keep the locusts. But I mean, he wasn't anything to be comely by. But God says he who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Greater than prophecy. Greater than demonstration. Greater than all that. And that this man, when Jesus came to him, for baptism, he said, I have a need. I have a need. I need to be baptized by you. There was something that John didn't have that he desperately wanted to have. Yet it wasn't his place or his time to have it. It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Prophets before him spoke about Jesus and the desire of the things of the Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon them, but he did not reside within them. He came upon them for moments of time and things to do, but he left them and he went from them. But born again believers, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to reside us every day of my life. This, I call him Holy Spirit God, because sometimes I think we can be flippant with the Holy Spirit. He is God. Hear me, he's not a power. He's not a manifestation. He is God. He is God. God, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, God, choose to reside within me. If you're born again here this morning, you have the Spirit of God within you. You have God Almighty. That thing that John the Baptist longed for, that craved for, that desired, that was the greatest of all flesh. He knew there was a lack, because flesh will always have lack. Flesh will always lack. I need to be baptized for you. And yet you and I have had the privilege to have that baptism. You and I have had the privilege to be infilled with the Holy Spirit God. And with the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life and my life, I'll get to my Bible in a minute. The presence of the Holy Ghost in your life and my life gives me an ability, capacity to fulfill his will. Come on now. He would never ask you to do anything he's never equipped you to be able to do. He would never ask you to do anything in life that he has not given you the power or the authority to do it. Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost resides within you to bring what? A change. To be a miracle worker for him. To be a promise keeper toward him. A light in the darkness. That is who he is to me and to the world through. Doesn't it say you are the sons of light? It does. Does it say these signs shall follow those who believe? Yes. Does it say you are the body of Christ? Yes. You're very quiet here, you Pentecostal people. Maybe I've come to a Baptist church. He's a way maker. Turn with me to Luke 1, verse 12 to 17. Luke 1, 12 to 17. Something happened when purpose met spirit. Something happened. John was filled from his mother's womb. When it says filled with the Spirit, it literally means this: filled to do what God had predetermined him to do. He was filled. Mary comes to meet Elizabeth. Elizabeth rejoices that Mary, she's with child. Elizabeth, miracle, a miracle child. They were well advanced in age. The angel knocked on Zacharias' door, told him he's going to have a baby. How do I know this? Then he zipped him up for 9 months. Shut your mouth because you can't speak faith. Don't say anything. And you could tell it was because he witnessed with his wife what the name was. His name shall be called. And he wrote it. The minute he wrote, his lips were set free. Promise. Purpose. But when Mary came with Jesus, spirit. When spirit and purpose meet, there should be a leaping in my womb. Something should be activated within me. Something should be witnessed. Amen. Something. Elizabeth, the baby, leapt in her womb for the joy. You and I have the spirit within us. This is my Bible. You and I have the spirit within us. And God has never given any person here not a gift. Every one of you has a gift. Everyone has a gift. Each one of you have a gift. Spirit meets the purpose. Something will leap in your spirit. Something will leap in the womb of faith that is a can-do God. That nothing will change or nothing will stop you thinking or believing what God is for your life. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was born for a purpose. You and I have been born for a purpose. You've purpose. You've got to engage the purpose. And the devil will try and stop purpose in your life. He doesn't mind you playing church. He doesn't mind you experiencing a touch from God. But don't be the power of the hand to the world. He doesn't mind you coming to this place and keeping it within these four walls. He doesn't mind you having church. Just don't be the church. Experience church, but don't be church. Keep it. Be a happy, clappy club here. But don't go out and be a waymaker. Don't go out and be a promise keeper. And whatever you do, please don't be a light in the darkness. He doesn't want you to be any of that. He wants to shut your mouth. He doesn't mind you experiencing purpose, but he doesn't want you to have the anointing. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, if you've got the Holy Ghost residing within you, my Bible says in 1 John, you have an anointing. You've got an anointing. You've got an anointing. You've got an anointing to be an evangelist. He's going to peel some layers from you. He's going to start using you as an evangelist. You're saying it's all too hard, God. It's not too hard. You just got to engage spirit with purpose. There's some people's purposes have been locked up and God wants to set them free. Purpose in life. So you have a reason to wake up. You have a reason to be cheerful. You have a reason to shout the goodness of God. You have a reason to celebrate Jesus. You have a reason, knowing that no matter what happens, Peter in the prison, asleep, Jesus asleep on a boat. How could Peter be asleep in a prison when just before him, James had just been killed by the sword? And it made the people happy. So the king says, grab a hold of Peter, we'll do the same thing to him. He fell asleep. Why did he fall asleep? I'm thinking, are you either dumb? Are you just resigned to the fact you're going to die? Or is it because you've got so much confidence in God that you know you can't be held back? And all of a sudden the angel smote him. Get up. I really believe that the Holy Ghost is saying this morning to some people, it's time to get up. Come on, it's time to get out of your slumber. It's time to get out of your sleep. Stop dreaming upon yesterday's promises, yesterday's amen. It's today's the day that you've got to get up. And all of a sudden, he wake up. Four squadrons of soldiers around him. One on the right, both holding chains to his right hand, to his left hand. And then the angel says to him, get up. I mean, come on. He's chained left. He's chained right. He says, get up. Hint, saints of God, no chain of the enemy can hold you back if God says, get up. Nothing can hold you back if God says, get up. The only thing that can hold you back is you. It's just a dream. So what did Peter do? He said, now get dressed. Did the angel dress him? No, he didn't. Put on your shoes. Put on your garment. Shoes represent what? Gospel. Your garment represents what? Righteousness of Christ. In other words, change your thinking. Get a new mindset. We're going to walk out of here. And he didn't know how to walk out of here. And when we're in situations, we usually don't know how to get out of the situation or problem. But he will lead me out of my situation and my problem. I don't care if the door's closed. I don't care if the iron gate's closed. I don't care what's before me. If God says start to walk, you walk. And without walking, the supernatural will occur. Step by step, the supernatural. All gates didn't open at once. They aligned. One door opened. He went to the next gate. That gate opened. He went to the next one. That one opened. The church was praying. The church was excited. The church was in frame. He knocks on their door. They didn't open. Isn't it amazing? The church, we can be praying for people. We can be praying. Oh, God, touch that person. I'm healed. Oh, God, he's deceived. Touch that person. One woman believed. They said she saw his angel. Did that stop Peter? He just kept on. Hear me. Footnote and hint. Don't let people's opinions stop you walking. I'm going to say that again. Someone needs to hear that. Don't let people's opinions stop you walking. Because everyone has an opinion, right or wrong. But that doesn't hold me back from the purpose of God. Amen? The minute you put weight to people's opinions is the minute you're setting yourself up for a downfall. There's only one person's opinion that you should be worried about. His name is Jesus. His opinion. Amen? His opinion. But you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. No one was greater than that was born of the woman. The devil is not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man, it says in Matthew 6:23. Five verses. Peter's name was changed three times. Matthew 16. Jesus said to Peter, men say that I am. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some said, oh, you're a prophet. Some said this, some said that. And Jesus was astounded and he said to Peter, blessed are you, Peter, for blood has not revealed this to, but my Father in. In other words, flesh and blood can't reveal anything spiritual. Only the Spirit can reveal things that are spiritual. Are you with me? He said, no longer shall you be called Simon, but your name shall be called Peter. And upon this rock I shall build my church, upon the truth of who I am. I will build my church. Then he told them how he was going to die. Then Peter said, not. He took him aside and said, get behind me, Satan. Simon, reed blown by the wind. Peter, little rock. Next thing, Satan. Because if you're not mindful of the things of God, God will chasten us because he loves us enough to get our minds on the purpose of God. Jesus never promoted flesh. This way maker, best that flesh could produce, still had a lack. I want to tell you something. When you lean on flesh and you want your flesh to make room for you and make a way for you, always be lack. Always. The only time there's fulfillment is when I walk in the Spirit. You have been designed. Please let this mindset get in you with you this morning. You have been designed to hear and walk in the Spirit, for you've been born again by the Spirit of God. We say these scriptures like, well, who knows the mind of God? Who knows the thoughts of the processes of God? Well, you should. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Have I got it up there? Yeah, there it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. But as is written, eye has not seen nor entered the heart of man, those things which God has prepared for those who love him. We say that a lot. Oh, you haven't got all the revelation that God has for you yet, but he'll reveal when he wants. Next verse. But God has revealed them to, God has revealed them to, but God has revealed them to you. You have the capacity to know the mindset of God. How can I know the mindset of God? It says, no man knows the things of man save the spirit of man. No one knows the mind of God except the spirit of God. I have been born of that spirit. Therefore, I have access and the right to know the mindset of God. God's not playing games with you and I. He doesn't play peekaboo and hide and seek. He doesn't play them games. He's not that sort of God. He wants you to know his perfect will. He wants you to know the next phase, the next step of your life. He wants me to hear what he has for me. He wants me to walk in the fullness of everything he has for my life. He wants me to walk in the benefits and the goodness of his spirit. He wants me to know. He doesn't want me to be saved. He doesn't want me to be, well, oh, I didn't understand that, God. Look what you've allowed to happen in my life. No, 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 no. He wants me to do it. Sometimes he'll use experiences of my life to change me and form me and fashion me and allow those things to engrind me to bring change to my spirit and change to my heart and change the way I think. He'll use that. God will use that. But don't ever say God tempt me, because he can't. He doesn't tempt me. He will use your lack to form and fashion you into his likeness. All of us. None of us are exempt. Some of us are battling things right now and you're blaming God. It's not God. Usually it's pride. Because you refuse to. And he'll keep you going around the same mountain over and over again until you one day wake up and say, I've been here before. Surely that tree looks familiar. I've been here before. Why am I? And the question should be is, why am I going around the same mountain? But most Christians say this, God, deliver me from my mountain. But I could speak to my mountain and cast it into a forgetfulness. That's what he's talking about. So you walk in humility, forgiveness, and humbleness. You chuck it into the sea of forgetfulness. Then you can move on and you can see clearly. Amen. But so often, we allow them to encroach us and bring us back into a mindset of the flesh. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment. Here's another, I'm going to chuck this one on. Blaming another situation. I don't care how bad your situation is. I don't care what's happened. And it could be a tragedy what's happened. And it could be horrible might of what's happened to you. The thing is, an advocate with the Father called Jesus Christ who can make room for you and make all things turn out together for the... How many things? How many things? All things turn together for the good. Not what I perceive as good. What he decrees for me is good. Amen? Are we getting this? As of the Spirit, that my Bible says you have the mind of, whose mindset have you got? And we love that, don't we? We jump on that. I have the mind of Christ, 2 Corinthians. I've got the mind of Christ. Yeah, I've got the mind of Christ. And we think about the power of God. We think about the anointing of God. But he's not talking about any of that. The mind of Christ is this, servanthood, humility, generosity, laying down one's life for another. That's the mind of Christ. All these other things are benefits of Christ. But the mind of Christ is not my will, but... Was that his mindset? Yeah. Not my will, but thy be done. Everything has to be pointed to the will of the Father. And when I'm going into the will of the Father, everything else will be added to me. Everything. You have the mind of Christ. Here's the dilemma. It says this, put on the mind of Christ. The Holy Ghost doesn't do that for you. I'm going to tell you again, the Holy Ghost does not do that for you. You have to do it for you. You don't do it for your husband. You don't do it for your wife. You don't do it for your brother. You don't do it for your sister. You do it for you. Hear me? You have to do it for you. We've got a leak. Let the rain come. And God will bring change to our lives, my life, this life, to bring glory to His name while I walk in the purpose and the power of God. There is a deposit of His power residing within each born-again believer. 1 John 4, greater is He than he who is in the spirit man, greater than flesh man. Spirit man, greater than flesh man. Greater is He, spirit man, than he who is in the... Therefore, you must have power. You have power. What the devil wants to shut up is your anointing and your power to bring change. Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. Yet most Christians expect the world to change by their own efforts. It won't. You are the light to the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the one that brings a fragrance. And you're the one sometimes that brings a cutting edge. Because salt in a wound causes me to react. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. So when purpose meets anointing, something leaps inside of me. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 3. There was a church called the Laodicean Church who lost its way. It lost its first love. It forgot it was spirit. It forgot it was spirit. It says this, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, excuse me, Laodiceans, the word Laodicean literally means this, people's opinions. That's what it means. To the Laodicean church, to the church who holds people's opinions. Write these things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. In other words, they're caught between two opinions. They vacillate to whatever suits. Hot, cold. There's a vacillation. I know your works, and then you're hot or cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. In other words, make it life. See, God can work with a decision. God can work with when you make your mindset set on something. God can bring clarity to something. Even if it's cold, He can start warming you up by bringing clarity to your sin. But if you keep vacillating between the two, He can't. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. In other words, He takes no pleasure. That's literally what He's saying. I take no pleasure in lukewarm. Because you say I'm rich, you have become wealthy and you need nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. That is the man of the flesh. I counsel you to buy from me what? What? Gold. Refined by what? Ha ha ha. Are you prepared to pay the price? Buy of me gold. Are you prepared? You and I are prepared to pay a price. The price will have to be refined by what? By fire. Buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. And white garments are clothed that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eyes love. Begin to see as I see. Begin to walk as I walk. Put on my righteousness. Stop trying to work it out all for yourselves. Stop trying to be something that I've never designed you to be. Stop with flesh and start walking in the Spirit. I have birthed you in the Spirit to be Spirit people. That's what God's saying. Walk in the Spirit. Put on my mindset. And as you put on my mindset, you will find love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We use this nation scripture. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the church. God is talking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door. So here, if someone's got to open the door, where's Jesus? He's outside the door. He's not part of that part of my life. He's outside the door. And he's knocking. And he's knocking. God won't give up on you and I. He'll keep on knocking. And he'll keep on knocking. All he wants you and I to do is open the door. He won't even push it open. You've got to invite him in. You've got to invite him in. You've got to invite him into that situation that I've locked him out. I've got to let the Spirit of God get me in there, because all I'll be doing if I don't is walking with a mindset of the flesh. I've got to get the mindset of the Spirit. I've got to put on the mind of Christ in the situation. Will that cost me? Yes. How much will it cost? Everything. Will it hurt me? Probably. Because you have to face up to your fault. I'll rephrase that. We have to face up to our faults. And facing up to my fault sometimes can be painful, because it's blame someone else, then blame me. My wife for 3 years blamed me. It must have been the Holy Ghost, you bringing that up. For 3 years, she blamed me. Every morning, she'd pray, change him, Jesus. I used to hear her. She'd made it loud enough, so change him, Jesus. Oh, God, give him a revelation of your word. The more she said that, the more I arced up. And the Holy Ghost told her, that is her to change. I'm going to really throw it out there now. Them sort of prayers are actually witchcraft prayers. You have no right. I have no right to pray them sort of prayers. There's only one person that brings change to someone else's life. His name is God. And if that person's in my life, it means God wants to work on me for that moment. And whatever it is, I need to have an ear to hear. So I don't go around for 40 years. I had such a burden on my heart this morning. Brought me to tears. About 3:30 this morning, I was up praying. And all of a sudden, I had this weight. I said, oh God, restore back my years. Oh God, restore back my... All of a sudden, I had this thing creep up on me. I've wasted time. And all of a sudden, I thought of all these things that I've been doing for me. And there's nothing wrong with having a whole day, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying life and all that. But sometimes we can go too far. And all of a sudden, I only read once a month or once every 3 months, or when I feel like it. And you get caught up in this cycle. And I thought, oh God, all these, you said you would redeem time. I need him. And as you get older, we do need to redeem time. I need to redeem some time. Lord, give me some divine appointments so I can speak into life. Give me divine appointments. We should never live with regret. I believe that. God doesn't expect me to have regret, but he does expect me to get a hold of opportunities that I might have missed. Greatest, and I'm going to really expose my heart this morning. One of the greatest things that happened to me in my early walk, we went around Australia preaching the gospel for 10 months. I got to Townsville. There was a guy called Rocky. He was the youth pastor of a church in Townsville. A guy called David, what's his name? He could recite Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John off by heart anyway. He's an ACC church. I can't remember his name. He's dead now. Anyway, 800 people church, big church in Townsville. And I just clicked. He used to take me shooting. He'd say, Dave, stay. We'll pay for your Bible school. We'll put you up in the house. It'll all be paid for. Just stay. So I'm going. And I did. It broke his heart. In that backslidden state, I was living now in Nollamara. And a knock came on my door. It was Rocky. He had been searching me for a year. Him and his wife had broke up. His pastor sacked him. He left the church. And the only person he thought of was me. And I closed the door on him. Because I was backslidden. For 30 years I've been praying, Lord, I need a divine appointment to meet Rocky, to get life right. I don't live with regret. I live with appointment, but I refuse regret. These are the moments where I want time redeemed. These are the moments where I want to restore something that I should never have been in that place. I should never have got there. But because of people's pain, and people's disappointment, and my opinion of people, and their opinion of me, I didn't want to fellowship with people. I've said this to you before. God, I love you. Just keep your people. Most hurt is from another Christian, not the world. It's from another Christian. And all of a sudden the devil puts weight on it. And he jumps on the wagon. If they're really Christians, they'd love you. Notice they haven't rang you today. Notice they haven't followed you up. Oh, they're not real. They don't really love you. And all this. And he's just speaking and speaking and speaking and enforcing and enforcing. And all of a sudden, because I'm not in my word, I haven't got the mind of Christ. And all of a sudden now I'm in the mind of the flesh. And now I want revenge. Now I want a piece of it. Probably I'm a bit too honest this morning, ain't I? I want a piece of them. And all of a sudden, I'm not in fellowship with God. I thought I was doing the right. I was reading my Bible, praying. I was doing all that. I was doing my religious thing. And then God woke me up one morning. He said this. You only have me, you don't know me. I said, what are you talking about? I got really upset with him. We have a good relationship. I said, God, what are you talking about? I know you. I read the Bible. I can quote scripture. He says, you do not know me. You've been seeking my hands and not my face. You desire the works of my spirit, but you don't desire me. Shook me to the core. And the goodness of God led me to repentance. So that was his goodness he was showing me. Brutally honest. I mean, absolutely brutal. And he didn't mind if I died. Because he's the God of resurrection. He doesn't care where it ends me. He can pick me up. He can do an Isaac in me. But he needs that thing in me to die so that I might live. But so often in life, and I've seen Christians do this in church for a long time, they hold on to stuff. I mean, absolute garbage. And they're getting ripped off of the greatest asset they've ever had, time. And your relationship and my relationship with God and their moments are superficial. How can I come to a holy God unholy? Unless I'm going to present it to the altar and say, "Here, Jesus, here's my bitch. Help me fix this." But if I think I'm right and keep going to the altar, "Jesus, change them. Jesus, change him. Jesus, forgive them. Jesus, do this, do that for them," and have a get me attitude, he closes his ear. Leave your gift at the altar. First be what? Reconciled. Then come back to present your gift. So your reconciliation is more important than your gift. Your reconciliation to people is more important than your gift. Does that mean I fit with every person? No. But it means I've got harmony. Does it mean I have to be their best friend? No. No, not at all. But it does mean I can love them. Did Jesus have the inner core of his disciples? Did he? He said to them three that he never spoke to the other nine. The dilemma that most church folk have got is this. They allow anyone to come into their homes, and they are damaged goods. And then they want to draw the curtain, but it's too late. They're in. You're already damaged. I need him to heal me. I need to reconcile. I need to repent. And I need to bring change. And I must remember I am a man of, or a woman of, the Spirit. John 3 and 5 says this. Says that Jesus told them that they must be born again. So that which is born of the flesh is what? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. Yeah. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He said, "The Spirit is like the wind wherever it blows." That we said, the Spirit is like the wind wherever it blows. You do not know where it comes from, you do not know where it goes. So is he who is born of the Spirit. In the upper room in Acts chapter 2, the house was filled with rushing what? So the wind is the Spirit. The Spirit will blow on you and has blown on you if you're born again. And it literally, if you look up the word, it literally means pneumia, which is the breath of God. We've sung a song this morning, "Breathe on Me." He already has. You're born again, not of your choice. The wind be it wished. He chose you. You did not choose him. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. I mean, what an honor it is to be a Christian. That he allowed his breath to breathe on me, to cause me to rise up. Hello, Adam. Cause you to rise up out of your dust, to become being. Your prayer didn't save you.
Dear Jesus, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. That didn't save you. That's just an acknowledgement.
His breathed over your soul. And you got born again. And he deposited his spirit in to live and act like Christ. To have the enablement and the power to put on the mindset of God. And then we come with our list of complaints.
Well, if she taught me, she cooked dinner better, if she was a better cook. Well, she's not cleaning the house the way I wanted her to, Jesus. Fix her up.
Well, he's not doing the right thing, you know. House is a mess. He needs to work. He needs to get a better job, Jesus. Fix him up. And we have these fix me things. And what God wants to do is fix you. Stand. I could go on. The wind blows where it wishes. You do not know where it comes from or where it's. So is he who is born of the Spirit. If you're a born-again believer this morning, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Come on. You have an anointing from the Holy One. I don't want to be sound like a broken record, but whatever is holding you back, get up. Get over it and move on. Come on, Peter. Get up. Come on, Peter. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. I have a time to get my wife. If I get her up too early, I get her barking at. And if I get her up too late, I get her barking at. So I make sure there's a time to get up. In all seriousness, it's a time to get up. You cannot do and camp around stuff. Please hear me. It's just stuff. You're born of the Spirit. It's time to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And the minute I decide to walk in the Spirit and put on the Spirit, there'll be healing. There'll be healing. You can justify all what you want. And we're usually good at that. We can justify our pain, our hurt, our situation. We can keep saying it over and over again. He ain't interested. What he's interested in is, will you walk in the Spirit? Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I believe God's here this morning to bring some fresh oil, to breathe on people afresh. You know, that's one thing the 12 disciples got that we never experienced then. Before they got born, before they got full of the Holy Ghost, he breathed on them. I really believe the breath of God is here to bring fresh life to people this morning. Ignite the coals of their hearts. To enable you to open the door that's shut. To cause you to walk as he walked, speak as he spoke, and act like he acted. That's his call. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of darkness or the works of the devil. Your purpose is to manifest Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you need a fresh breath of heaven this morning, you lift up your hands before the Lord. Say, God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, Jesus. I need a breath of heaven. I need the breath of heaven. Tired. Tired of the same old, same old. I want the power of God. I need the power of God. Tired of just going to meetings. I want an encounter with Jesus. Need my marriage healed. They must be healed. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, I ask for the breath of your Spirit to blow in this house. Blow in every house of every person. Fill the whole house. You're a wholesome God. Fill the whole house. Come to save me, body, soul, and spirit. Help me be a spirit man. Give me an ear to hear. Give me an ear to hear, Jesus. Change me. Change me. That I might be a man who, like John, is a way maker. That I can be your miracle worker to this broken world. I will be a promise keeper, Jesus. Help me to be the light in the midst of the darkness and a salt to this earth. That your kingdom come, your will be done. That we might see a harvest in this hour. That souls come in, Jesus. That some of you have already thought, God, I need to redeem some time. God's going to restore back to you what the cankerworm, the grasshopper, the palm worm, the locust is. He's going to restore back. God's going to restore back. God's going to give you the moment, the divine encounter, the opportunity to bring change. Hallelujah. Some of you reestablish purpose in your life. Purpose that causes you to get up in the morning with a grateful heart. Father, we avail ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Breathe on us afresh. Holy Spirit, as we yield ourselves to you this morning, God, we come to buy from you the gold, the eye salve, to bring healing to us to see. We thank you for the restoration, the healing by the anointing of the Spirit. Right now, Father, I curse every work of darkness, every work of deceit, every deceitful thing, every lie from the pit of hell. I pull it down in the name of Jesus. And I decree your truth will make people free. Your truth will make people free. Your truth will make people free. Lord, peel back those layers around our hearts. Peel them back. Peel them back, Jesus. Peel them back. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. I believe it because you said it. I receive it because it's mine. As a citizen of heaven, the Son of the Spirit, I don't have to beg you to do things. It's your desire to do things for me. We take our place in the spirit realm in Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, give God an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God. You've got to get up every morning and start saying, He's a good God. Change the mindset. Shift it. He's a good God. My wife is not my enemy. My best friend. My children are a blessing. Amen. And all things will turn out together for the good. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. I'll leave the altar open if you desire prayer. And I do believe there's some people that do need prayer, more specific prayer. If that's you, do not lose the opportunity. Amen. God bless you.